Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Phil, thanks for coming on, man. I really appreciate you and I'm happy to have you on. Tell us where you're calling in from, Phil, and what you do for a living.
Yeah, calling in from Southern California, more specifically Sherman Oaks, the Valley area out here.
Awesome.
And I'm currently the head of e-commerce and growth for a consulting company called Mojo. We have offices all over the U.S., but we all work pretty much 100% remote right now.
Cool. Yeah, no, likewise. And so just tell me a little bit more about your background. I mean, what kind of got you into, you know, a position with e-commerce growth? You tell me a little bit more about some of the other things you've done in the past leading up to this position at this company.
Yeah, definitely. So I was actually just thinking about before I started my professional career. So I went to college at the University of Notre Dame, and I was one of the guys that was big into just throwing parties for me and my friends that, you know, obviously everybody in college is trying to have a good time. And it was, not to date myself, but this was before the internet was really a big thing. But I got into the concept of integrated marketing. You know, we would have emails that we would blast out to students. We would have web pages that we would throw up and design. And this was before, you know, like you had like Shopify or anything like that.
Right.
We would have flyers that we would print and hand out to people. And so that really spurred my interest in this concept of integrated marketing and how to create awareness of, in that case, an event to get people to come to your parties. And so I started out my career in technology, worked in project management for Johnson & Johnson, did that for 5 years. But on the entrepreneurship tip, on the side, I was a personal trainer. So, you know, I've always had an interest in health and fitness and wellness. And in that field, it's actually very sales driven to meet numbers, to bring in revenue for the gyms. And then I also did real estate investment on the side as well, too. So that kind of tapped into finance, forecasting, deal sourcing and deal closing. And that really sparked my interest, got my MBA at UCLA, and then have had a career mostly in digital, e-commerce, marketing, and media. But now, fast forward, I've landed at Mojo, and it's a great spot for myself because I've held roles on the brand side, managing direct-to-consumer programs, e-commerce. I've worked at a couple of large agencies, you know, running paid media campaigns, retention, done strategy work, and now I'm in a spot where it's a mix of both. I'm bringing in new business for the consulting company, but then I'm the acting head of e-commerce for two non-alcoholic beverage brands that Mojo owns and operates. And we're very new to the game, but we're in a big growth period right now.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, I love that. And I've actually had a few other people on the podcast in the non-alc space. One, I don't know if you're familiar with Blind Tiger. That was one of the people I had on last week. And it's obviously a super rapidly growing space. And tell me if this is, you have this common experience with what you find and, you know, running the e-commerce side of that brand is, I was shocked to hear that two of the brands that I've interviewed on the podcast in the non-alc space, that from what they can tell from doing, you know, kind of interviews or like getting feedback from their customers, that upwards of over even 90% of their customers are not sober. They're actually, you know, people who do actually drink on a regular basis, but just looking for alternatives for certain situations, certain times, like even like of the week. So what have you kind of found on that side of things as far as like what your ideal customer looks like with that brand?
You know, that is such an interesting question. I was having this discussion with one of my clients last week in an offsite we had in Dallas, but I was actually having this debate with the CEO of one of our brands called Bear. Because your hypothesis is exactly, you know, myself. I drink alcohol, I don't know, 2-3 times a week, but I look for the non-alcohol spirits and ready to drink RTDs as substitutes in case I want to take a break. But our, you know, with Bear, our CEO has the perspective that he thinks when we market that we're actually marketing to people that are primarily sober already. We get in discussions about should we make mention of reducing hangovers and things of that nature, but he's of the opinion that if that's not going to resonate with the target audience. But the other one, Moon, I think it's not clear cut because so Moon for your audience, it's non-alcoholic, but it has THC.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's hemp infused. It has cannabis. biz. So you still get somewhat of a high. And I think with that product, it's more where you're going with what you've talked about with others, that people are looking for replacements for alcohol. But in that scenario, alternative consumption methods for marijuana from smoking or edibles or things of that nature. And the beverage space there is really taking off right now.
This is a fascinating area as well in its own right. It's just like THC infused or like hemp or cannabis derived products in general. So with that brand, I suppose, obviously advertising things like that can be difficult. You know, shipping across state lines can be incredibly difficult with anything, you know, THC in it, whether it's cannabis or hemp derived. So how do you kind of grapple with that? I mean, is it a hemp derived like THC that's in there? So you're able to kind of like, you know, ship it maybe more than just like your immediate area. That's another thing that I found with other folks that I've talked to. If it's not hemp derived, if it's cannabis derived, there's just like the red tape is just endless. But with the hemp derived D8, D9, you know, side of things, there's a little bit less, it seems like. So what's your experience been with that brand?
So it's called Moon. It's spelled MXXN. It was formulated 2 to 3 years ago, up until April of last year. So April of 2023, we were only able to ship to California because it was a cannabis form formulation.
Right.
But the founder, Darnell Smith, he worked on a new formulation that was hemp derived. And that coupled with, there was a farm bill, I don't want to call it a loophole, but an adjustment that basically April of last year, I think the farm bill was approved before that, but we launched in April of last year, and that allowed, you know, all these hemp derived brands to ship. I believe it's 39 or 40 states now.
Yep.
That we ship to direct to consumer. And that's really why the team bought myself aboard, because my background is in direct to consumer, e-commerce, media, marketing, P&L management for nationwide brands. And
right.
Yeah, it was a great time to kind of come into the space. And it's been fascinating to see the growth of a lot of the, you know, we hate to call them competitors because people play pretty nice in this space, but mm-hmm. you know, people that are also selling hemp derived or cannabis derived beverages as well too. It's so to answer your question, it was a lot of red tape until April of last year, but now the gloves are off, so to speak, but there's still some other restrictions that we might get into from a marketing and media standpoint. So
yeah, it's just fascinating. I believe actually just today, I think the DEA actually reclassified cannabis derivations from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3, which was something that like, I think was everybody kind of knew was upcoming, but I wasn't expecting it this soon. I think it was actually literally today they made that announcement. So that's obviously a step in the right direction for all these types of brands. But yeah, I guess so with that brand too, in particular, what were you kind of trying to do like different with this brand? I mean, obviously, you know, I go to my bodegas in New York City where I am, and you know, I see a bunch of stuff, and it's just like, it's not always like super clear like what it is, if it's CBD or THC or if it's Delta 9 or A. There's just like a lot of labels could be thrown around out there. So how are you kind of trying to do things a little bit differently with the branding and marketing that you're working with this brand?
Yeah, so this one is interesting. So I used to also work for a company called D Luxury Brands, and their focus was as operators for luxury brands in the home goods, apparel, and beauty space for the most part. And so I got a little bit of an exposure of how to position a brand as a premium option in a category. Okay. And so that's exactly what Moon is trying to do right now. We're trying to position ourselves as the premium non-alcoholic THC spirit in this whole space. And so if you look at our price point, our 750 milliliter bottles are at about $80. Most of the competition in the market is probably max $50, $45. So we definitely have a premium. But I'm a little biased, but our taste profile is far superior, I believe, than a lot of other competitors. If you take a look at our website, our design, user experience, like the color schemes, it's kind of got a black, cool, trendy, slick vibe that we pay really close attention to customer service. We've actually taken a stance of not even having any discounts thus far as part of our launch. And I would say, you know, all of that has helped us with some growth thus far and maintaining this position of being the premium player in the market. The other piece I'll just touch on too, I'm not as involved with this, but we do also sell through dispensaries as well to sell like kind of like via wholesale to them.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that actually. So I was curious if you did some of that too. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And if, you know, again, if you talk to our founder, it's interesting. The natural inclination would be if we're starting out, just like try to sell everywhere to everybody. But he's extremely particular about not only the type of venue that it's in this premium kind of vein, but also the actual individual placements, like where on the shelf, where is it positioned? Like what products are next to Moon in the shelf? valving and stuff. So there's a lot of attention to detail on that front as well too. So
yeah, no, it's great. And I think it's something that can be a little bit overlooked sometimes, especially with new and growing brands, where like, I'm sure you know from working in like, you know, the marketing and e-commerce space, that you try to message to everybody, you message to nobody, based that kind of like, you know, general sentiment in marketing. So I think that's actually probably a healthy perspective for a growing brand that's like, you know, a little over a year old. That's really interesting. But I guess I wanted to ask on that front too. I mean, so you're doing some work, you know, selling into dispensaries, is kind of like a retail wholesale side of the business. And then, but obviously you're the head of the, you know, direct to consumer e-commerce side. So what's kind of the breakdown between like how much, you know, business, you know, you don't have to say like specific numbers or anything. I'm just curious, yeah, like, you know, is it like, you know, 20% through dispensaries, the rest is e-commerce? What does that kind of look like for you guys with that brand?
Yeah, it's a good, you know, it's a good topic of discussion that we have a lot about what the optimal mix is. It's about, I'd say 80% e-commerce, 20% wholesale through dispensaries right mm-hmm. now. A lot of that has been driven by, you know, we put a lot of upfront effort to stand up a website, set up CRM flows, like yeah. automation with leads that we acquire. We're spending about $5,000 to $10,000 a month with Meta, and we found some wins there. So we've been able to kind of automate and optimize things from a media perspective. So we have some consistency with revenue that we're driving on that front. We're definitely just scratching the surface because we're only running in one channel, you know, limited spend, limited creative with our bandwidth right now. But I think optimally, you know, we talk about this a lot. I personally think we should be at about a 50-50 mix at some point, just because I see a lot of our inbound inquiries that we have from dispensaries. And then there's a lot of like alternative beverage shops that are contacting us that have the ability that sell a mix of alcohol, non-alcoholic, and cannabis. And so mm-hmm. I think there's a whole opportunity on that front that we're just tapping into. But part of the reason why it takes so long to scale on that front is that you got to have a lot of face-to-face time with these people. And so we basically have a team of two that's going out, like, you know, going to Minnesota, going to Texas, you know, and so they have limited bandwidth to establish those relationships, but we're growing them.
Yeah, that's awesome. And is this a product that you could like, in thinking about, you know, maybe like bumping up the retail to maybe a more 50-50 parity to, you know, maybe some time down the future, is this something that you could sell to like a traditional grocery store? I mean, how does it kind of categorize in the mind of like regulatory? I mean, it's obviously, you know, dependent on the state, but I guess where you are in California, like, yeah. can you find things like this in a general grocery store? Is there specific places they have to be sold, like dispensaries?
Yeah, so I really should know the specific details with this. If it's a CBD classified formulation, right. there's a lot less restrictions from hemp derived, especially if yeah. THC is still in the formulation. One really popular brick and mortar non-alcoholic retail chain, they actually just announced they're closing their stores, but I was just a huge fan. They had a big presence. So it's called Boisson, B-O-I-S-S-O-N, and they were restricted from carrying Moon at their location. Mm. It still has THC. So if you're CBD though, you'll see them at Erewhon, you know, Whole Foods and things like that, but there's still some restrictions with THC.
Yeah, it's always so interesting. And obviously it's just a constantly changing landscape too, which is a challenge in and of itself, just between like, you know, state by state regulatory and what's coming down, you know, at the federal level too. Like just yesterday, we just got changed cannabis derived from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3. It's like, that's great. Yeah. But it's just like, you never know when those things are going to happen. You got to pivot quick when those things come out so you don't fall behind. It's always really fascinating. And I guess I want to ask you just a few more questions also about the product, because this is not something I've ever tried before. And I think a lot of people for like, you know, THC derived spirits is kind of a new thing. I think a little bit more familiarity with maybe like a ready to drink, but with a spirit like this, how do you kind of equate like the strength of, you know, what's in there to maybe like maybe a more typical edible, or like, you know, what's kind of like the recommended amount for, you know, somebody, you know, drinking something like this? I would say maybe just for the sake of like an avatar or hypothetical, there's somebody who maybe takes in THC maybe like once a week at the most, or maybe like, you know, just like a couple times a month, like super kind of like casual user, I would say.
Unfortunately, I'm not the best person to answer that question with, because I think I've actually maybe had one edible in my life, and I've smoked marijuana maybe four times in my life. Okay. But what I've heard from other friends is that if you think of an edible like a gummy, like one portion, which I believe is 2 ounces in like an 8 ounce drink, is pretty comparable to a gummy in terms of the effects. What I can speak to though is from the quality of a cocktail. So our whole thing is that we're trying to drive people to use our drinks in the form of making cocktails, margaritas, martinis, things of that nature. And so right. I think if you think of it as a one-to-one replacement for alcohol for a cocktail, that is something that I can speak to, that where you'll sure. see a pretty good comparable taste. But I will caveat it and say the effect that you feel, it's definitely a lag compared to alcohol. It may be like 30 to 45 minutes of what I've observed in the past. Mm-hmm. And it good positive or negative thing, it helps you fall asleep too in the evening. So that's another kind of effect that I've seen too.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, I feel like a lot of people's experience with alcohol is like, I feel like some people maybe just take it to wind down, but you know, at least in my own experience, I mean, that is just not the case with me. Like sometimes I'll have like just like a little like beer after work or whatever, and like random day of the week, and I almost feel like less tired than I was like right before that. You know what I mean? So I feel like yeah. there's just like, I feel like there's just like general, just like messaging to people, especially in the United States, of like, this is what you do. Like you have your cocktail before your dinner, and then you have your wine during dinner and all this stuff. Or like, you know, have a beer after work. It's like a typical thing. Like, especially like swim, like kind of like what men do, you know, you have a drink after work, go to the bar, have a beer after work. But I feel like people are kind of like starting to move away from that and looking for alternatives like this. And I actually quite like that. It's not like the branding doesn't purport to be like a, you know, THC based whiskey or try to like emulate flavors like that and just be its own thing. I really love that too. I'm not a huge fan, just personally, the efficacy of, you know, the marketing of those types of products. I mean, I'm no expert, but just personally, like, I don't always like when things are just like, you know, non-alcoholic whiskey or non-alcoholic wines. It's like, well, like if I'm looking for an alternative, like I don't want to fake it. Like I want it to be an entirely different experience, which it seems like that's what you all are doing, which I quite like. So tell me kind of what led to that, I guess, decision around the brand and not doing like THC based, you know, like rum or a THC based like tequila, but rather doing like your own original, you know, kind of flavors that way.
Yeah. So it's interesting what you just mentioned. So Bear, the other brand that we haven't really talked about, that was actually formulated first. So the three main expressions are gin, tequila, and bourbon. Mm-hmm. So Bear was formulated, again, I think it's one of the highest quality non-alcoholic pure spirits. And it was formulated first and kind of went to market first. And our founder was just kind of playing with the formulation and was able to work with some folks to inject THC mm-hmm. into that formulation. So I think it's gone through some evolutions now where there's other adjustments and changes to it. But Moon was actually born out of Bear initially. And that was kind of the formulation and evolution of that product launch. I wasn't necessarily around in terms of the go-to-market kind of strategy of taking this premium position. But I got to think, because the Bear was perceived as high quality, and then you're adding in this THC kind of kicker to it, was probably likely the rationale of why we decided to go to market in that realm. So
yeah, it's so cool. It's such an interesting and upcoming space. And it's funny that you mentioned that people seem to be kind of willing to, you know, be open for discussion and help. And like, you know, in these like kind of growing brands in this growing category, it's something I find in kind of like growing brands in the CPG space more generally in food and beverage. I mean, it's the willingness to help is definitely there. And I think that there is like kind of like a rising tides raises all ships sort of feel within these industries. So it's been a really cool thing to be a part of and have conversations like I'm having with you today. It's a super cool community to be a part of. And I guess just a couple other questions I had on this front, just because I don't get to do a THC based product. So I'm just like super curious, which is there any things you deal with like logistically, or, you know, when you're thinking about like your shipping, doing direct to consumer, obviously you're doing it, you know, there's 39 or 40 states you can ship to. Is there any like added costs that you have to grapple with and like, you know, distributing from, you know, California, maybe to a different state, but just because there's THC in it? Or yeah, I guess I'm just a little curious about that. If there's any kind of like added costs or struggles in that regard, or if it's just kind of like everything else, it's just weight and time and distance.
Yeah, I don't want to misspeak, because I think things have gotten a lot better over the years. And I believe in the past, there was tons more restrictions. I think, you know, we're bootstrapping it right now. So we've rented a space and we work with a local packer in the Bay Area right now to help bottle and help us out with packaging. And we're kind of shipping it ourselves right now. Mm-hmm. I think there are some restrictions if you work with like third-party fulfillment centers, like specialists.
Okay.
Centers, a lot of them still have like restrictions on shipping THC, maybe even CBD. It's funny because with Bear, we're actually in the process of shifting our fulfillment through Amazon. So we're Bear, we sell through our website, we have a wholesale presence, and then we're gearing up to launch on Amazon right now. And we're actually going to start funneling all of our orders through Amazon fulfillment directly to kind of save on that front. But yeah, there's still a restriction on that from a THC perspective. I mean, we require a signature upon delivery, but that's kind of consistent with all alcohol deliveries right now. Right. So that's the biggest thing that I've encountered so far, is kind of the restrictions of the partners that you can work with, I'd say.
I'm just curious, because I got recently, I've been like, they do these crazy promotions on like DoorDash to order like cases of beer from like local places. And like, when it makes sense, if it's cheaper than me going there, of course, like, why not? You know what I mean? Is that something that you like potentially exist on, or is that still a kind of like hands off with these kinds of products right now too.
Yeah, we chatted about it about 5-6 months ago. We've just been so heads down on ramping up DTC, wholesale. Yeah, I don't mean to like blow off your question, but yeah, we definitely want to explore that. A big thing though is so marketplaces. So I mentioned Amazon for Bear. You know, obviously a lot of people are selling on Amazon. A new one has popped up that, just to give them a quick shout out, it's called Air Goods, and they're a specialty marketplace for non-alcoholic spirits initially. Oh, cool. But they recently expanded to open up to sell THC and cannabis. And so that's a platform we're extremely excited about. It's more of a wholesale play versus direct to consumer, but that's like a recent kind of growth effort that we're exploring right now. But I definitely, if we could get within the, I don't know if it's Uber Eats or Postmates now, but if we can get in their ecosystem or DoorDash, that'd be huge for sure.
Yeah, it's just super cool. I'm always shocked. Like, I don't even actually have to sign, and I'm in New York State, one of the like most like, you know, highly, you know, regulated places for things like this. And all they have to do, the guy just takes a look at my license. He's like, okay, like, it's totally fine. So yeah. I'm always curious about like the kind of challenges and things that go on with that, since this is like obviously such a new category with like food and alcoholic beverage delivery in its own right, but like, you know, how THC products fit in there is, I'm always curious about. So I appreciate that. And yeah, I guess I just want to give you an opportunity before we hop off, Phil, just to, you know, shout out the website for both of these brands, between Moon and Bear. Just let people know if anybody listens to the podcast, maybe they're interested in potentially partnering with you guys, or just want to, you know, place an order and try it or find where they can get it. Just let everybody know how to stay in touch with you guys.
Yeah, definitely. So Moon, it's spelled MXXN. It's kind of a playoff, if you say it fast, mixing. We want people to mix it in terms
like
of
that. Yeah.
It's enjoymoon.com. So enjoymxxn.com. And then the other brand is Bear, B-A-R-E. And the website is enjoybear.com. Check out Bear. We just launched two new rum flavors, which taste outstanding. One's a spice rum and one's a white rum blanco. So yeah, that's cool. Two things we're real excited on that front.
Awesome, man. Well, Phil, I just want to say thank you again, man. I just want to wish you the best of luck, continued success, and everything that you're doing with these two brands. I love what you're doing. I love your passion for it. It's really awesome. It's such an awesome and fun growing category. So yeah, man, best of luck with everything. And I look forward to staying in touch.
Definitely. No, thank you. And yeah, really appreciate the opportunity here.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks, everybody.